Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
From the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on what has turned into a rather interesting Thursday night, John Fricke with you as we discuss the breaking news out of the Atlanta Hawks and the kind of historical nature of what the Atlanta Braves have done as they head to Tampa for this series that opens tomorrow right ahead of the All-Star break. And I started thinking today, you know, who could I ask to come on the show who could put the Braves season into perspective? Somebody has to have a real depth of knowledge. And I said, well, who has a better depth of knowledge in Atlanta sports than Mark Bradley? I said, well, nobody. All right, well, let's ask Mark. And so I did, and he has been kind enough to join us. Mark Bradley, who almost, Mark, you're almost like legendary status. Don't you hate that? Because it means you're old, right?
I definitely have old status. That's about as far as I'm willing to go. I've been here a while, so I guess that beats the alternative. So I came here in '84, and it was weird because the first almost for a decade, the Falcons and Braves were like terrible at the same time. I went like 14 consecutive Falcons Braves seasons before either of them had a winning record. And then the Braves got really good and stayed really good pretty much. It's looking back on it, it's like I've been here since 84, and then since 91, we have seen the Braves win their division 20 times. It's not like they've never been good before. And very good. I mean, there were many of those years they were either the best or right there among the best teams in baseball. And they probably should have won a couple more or more than a couple more World Series than they did, but they've been really, really good for a really long time. And that's sort of the lead in for me saying, I don't know if they've ever been as good as they are right now. They pitch better than this. I mean, their pitching in the 90s was as good as any teams has ever been ever. But this hitting is it's pretty good. And sometimes you think, what would a team look like if it had an all-star at every position? Well, this team's not far from that.
Well, I think they actually do, because, you know, if not for, you know, a slow start, I think what we've seen from Michael Harris, he's, obviously he's all-star caliber. He's Rookie of the Year for a reason, and boy, Eddie Rosario's played at an all-star level. So, yeah, it's pretty much every position here. I mean, you got all-stars on the bench that can't even get into the game, like Travis d'Arnaud, for crying out loud.
Right.
So, yeah, this is something special, you know, right? And historically, and you and I, you'll forgive me for a moment. I'm speaking to the audience, Mark. A couple of old heads here who've been around a long time, Mark and I.
Right.
Because we both go way back. You know, and you mentioned 84, and you come into a city where at the height of the city, at the top was the Atlanta Hawks and Dominique, the beginning of the Dominique run, and, of course, Georgia Tech basketball, and all those great Bobby Kremins teams. And the Braves and the Hawks, Braves and the Falcons, as you said, were struggling along here. So when the Braves did catch fire in the 90s, you said, okay, they had something special, but once that was gone, you're saying they can't rekindle it again. They did. And then not only did they rekindle it again, they did it twice, and the second time out, now, Mark, I think we are very fortunate in our lives to have been witness to the things that you and I have been witness to. I'm asking you, can you impart to these young fans to enjoy the fact that they are witness to something historical?
You know, it's weird because the reaction back in those non-glory days of the 80s basically was nobody cared about the Braves. I mean, the Glavine had the famous description of his early years with the Braves, where he said, you know, it's 95 degrees in the middle of the summer, and you're 25 games out of first place, and there's 5,000 people in the stands. And that's what it was. And then in 91, all of a sudden, that everybody fell in love with the Braves. And, you know, that kept up over a while. You know, and they kept up because the Braves kept winning. And then it was kind of like the Braves went so long winning that people kind of assumed they couldn't do anything else. Don Waddell, when he was the general manager of the Thrashers, said the Braves just won too much. They spoiled everybody. And they did. We kind of felt like as a city and as a fan base that this is just something a normal team did. Well, you know, winning 14 consecutive division titles is not the sort of thing any team had ever done. And I think that we just got spoiled because they won and they won and they won. And then we got kind of hung up on the World Series thing, the only one World Series thing. But yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, apart from a little bit of a downtime at the end of the first decade of the century, like the 2006 to 2009 years, and then the sort of design reset from 2015 through 2017. I mean, this team has been playing for division titles and playing for the postseason and playing for the World Series for most of the last 30 years. And that's, you know, that's something that not many teams could say. Maybe the Yankees can say that, but maybe the Dodgers can say that, but that's about it. There really aren't very many. We have been lucky to see something like this. Yes, we have, because this has been really good baseball for a really long time, most of it. And I right now I think that this could be, you know, you never know. I mean, the world could change tomorrow, but I don't see any way that this team isn't going to be in the playoffs. And I, you know, and we all talk about it being a crapshoot and that good pitching can stop good hitting, but on the other hand, the Braves pitch about as well as anybody too. And if they get Max Fried back, they're going to be pretty tough to handle in October.
Mark Bradley of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the longtime near 40-year columnist who has seen pretty much everything in Atlanta sports in those four decades here. Mark, I go back over the course of time. I got a question I'm going to be talking to the fans about on Sunday, and I'm going to ask you this question. For anybody that's been around a minute, at least a minute, who has seen Atlanta sports, if you think about the teams that you've covered, whether it was the Kremis Yellow Jackets or the Yellow Jackets that made the run to the championship game with Jarrett Jack, or Herschel Walker, or, you know, the championship run of Georgia now, the Braves of 2 years ago, or the Braves of the 90s, the Super Bowl Falcons team, the 60-win Hawks, the Atlanta United Cup run. Is there one and that stands out as the most fun? Because of all those things that I watched, and I saw them all too, I think this is about the most fun I've ever had.
Yeah, the summer of 91, I don't think there will ever be another summer like that, because that was just like basically everybody in Atlanta that had stopped paying attention or never paid attention to the Braves went crazy about the Braves from like August through October. And, we went from not knowing how to get to Fulton County Stadium to being in traffic jams where everybody had the foam tomahawk mounted in the back window of the car. And I think that year, even the Braves people, those around the team and the players then will say, you know, we won it all in 95 and we definitely had better teams than we had in 91. But 91 was the year that we'll remember forever. And I would say that's probably true, because I don't know that many teams have ever taken over a city the way the Braves did that year, and I know that nobody has ever taken over Atlanta the way the Braves did. But the 2021 World Series to me was just like, you know, I had more fun with that probably than I'd ever had before, because, you know, I'd seen them win a World Series before, but I'd never seen them. That one kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, this was a team that couldn't get above 500 until like middle of August. And then all of a sudden they get in the World Series and they're like the greatest team anybody's ever seen. Guys who weren't even Braves at in July were all of a sudden civic heroes, Jock Peterson and Eddie Rosario, and then Jorge Soler. I mean, they were all deadline pickups, and it's like, who are these guys? And yet I didn't really think going into the postseason, you know, I remember going to Milwaukee for the first round and I thought, I could see the Braves winning this round, but they're not going to get by the Dodgers. And then all of a sudden you look up and they're up 2-0 on the Dodgers, and you think, well, maybe they can get by the Dodgers. And I asked Brian Snitker back then, I said, when did you really start that this team might really start thinking that this team might do something? More than just make the playoffs. And he said, probably after game two against the Dodgers, because from then on, it was just like, It was just like one wonder after another. You know, they beat the Dodgers. They go to Houston. They win the first game there. They come here, and they win game three, and then they're down all game four, and all of a sudden Swanson hits a home run and Soler hits a home run, and you're looking at clinching the World Series the next night, and they didn't. They blew a lead and they had to go back to Houston. But then, you know, they go to Houston and the Astros don't score, and Soler hits a ball, you know, 400 miles, and they're the world champs. I mean, that was pretty neat. And, you know, other stuff has been neat, too. I mean, the Georgia Tech team that went to the championship game could have lost. They could have gone 0-5 in their first five games of that NCAA tournament. Every one of them came down to the last possession, and yet, all of a sudden, you look up and they're playing on Monday night for the championship. The Falcons.
I have only about 2 minutes. Yeah,
sure. the Falcons run, and the Falcons run in 98 or in the Falcons run to 28-3 was pretty great, right up to the point where it was 28-3.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, there's that. I have about 2 minutes left. Since I have you on the phone here, Mark, I do want to just get your quick thoughts, if you can, about DeJounte Murray and the news that he got a four-year, $120 million deal. Do you think the Atlanta Hawks have anything else planned here, or are they just going to kind of ride this out this year with Quinn Snyder and come see what may?
I think he obviously had time to evaluate the team. And in the games after he took over, so I think he kind of had to have a feeling about what he wanted and what he didn't want, and I think that I'm a little surprised that they re-upped Murray for so much. I'm a little surprised they re-upped him at all, because we kept getting mixed signals about whether or not the Murray Young pairing was working or not working, but obviously they're very talented guys, and now it's pretty clear that's going to be the strength of the team going forward. I don't know if they're going to do a Capella trade. I think they've got a lot of good players on this team. It's just I think it's mostly a matter of mesh. And I think that this move says to me that Snyder seems to feel he can make a mesh out of not a mess but a mesh out of Murray and Trae Young.
Mark, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate your taking some time on a late at night here to join us and talk a little bit about kind of the historical nature of the Braves, and we'll see more about the Hawks. Mark Bradley, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mark Bradley of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Dean of Sports Writers in Atlanta. Next up, the man who knows everything about soccer, Jason Longshore, going to jump into the program. We'll talk to him a little bit about what's going on with United and more. There's a major, major game-changing rule change coming to soccer that's going to change potentially the game. Where do you hear this? Next, with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
All right, it is an unwritten rule here. I know the data can't see me. I was holding my hand up. You have to wait through the scream, okay? I mean, it's a rule of life.
Had me concerned.
Axl Rose screaming at the top of his lungs. Come on now, you got to go through the roar. I mean, it is the jungle after all. Welcome back to the program here with John Fricke for John Chuckery tonight. Jason Longshore has been kind enough to jump into the program, talk to us a little bit about what's going on with Atlanta United and this potentially major news about soccer, and not the World Cup yet, about the change to the game. Jason, how you doing, bub?
What's going on, John? How are you?
I'm doing fine. Let's begin there, Jason, if we may.
Okay.
There's a club, for those of you who don't know much about soccer, you may know that the British League, the English Premier League is the number one league in the world, and there is a major club called Arsenal that goes by the nickname Gunners. And the big boss of Arsenal has been pushing for a massive rule change, and FIFA has said yes. And that rule change is an offsides change that they're going to try out in, like, Norway and Finland, I think, and they'll see what happens. And they could institute it next year. And, Jason, if they change this and allow players to get more forward of the defense, this potentially could really open up the game.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and part of it ties into having video replay involved in the game now. And, you know, think back to the NFL when they added replay and how, like, you'd see these little changes in the game kind of on a yearly basis as we all caught up to having calls be 100% correct. When you go back to offside and when I was playing as a kid and what it was like then, what it was like, honestly, like a decade ago, there was kind of this unwritten idea that if it was close, you gave it to the attacker. You gave the attacker the benefit of the doubt. That was the unwritten rule. Well, when you have replay and when you get to the level of technology that the Premier League uses, as opposed to like MLS, where you just have the replay and you can, you know, freeze frame it and look at it, but you don't have the Hawkeye technology that's actually drawing lines, and it's all mapped out, and it's a bigger level of technology than I can imagine and explain well, but it gets it down to as exact as you can possibly be. It's like tennis, where you can see where the ball's going to land, that kind of thing. So when you go away from the idea of if it's close, you give it to the attacker, and you can actually see the level of detail, you're starting to take away what was accepted before. So now with changing the rule to change where the line is, because that's what this is. Basically, the idea now, the idea currently is that if any part of your body that can play the ball legally, so your hand doesn't count here, but if any part of your body that can play the ball legally is offside, then you're offside. Well, it'll flip with this tweak, and we'll see how it goes in the league. They're going to test it. Where if any part of your body is onside, then you're good. So you basically get a body length is what it's going to come down to. Defenses will adjust. I think you'll see a little bit of a boost in goal scoring opportunities in the short term. You'll see a lot of arguments and people getting frustrated and the game's gone and all the usual conversations whenever there's a change. But I think it'll be something that gets us honestly back to where the idea was, the spirit of the rule was, before we could see it so closely with replay.
And ahead of the 2026 World Cup. Okay. That's interesting. I want to go to that card here for just a moment. The U.S. men's national team has been playing in CONCACAF in the Gold Cup. And they've been playing St. Kitts and Nevis, and they've been playing Trinidad and Tobago with essentially, I think it's fair to say, their second unit. I am blowing them off the field. Recently, there was the rankings of the top 100 players, top 10 players at every position that FIFA released, and there were no Americans on the list. I'm kind of trying to figure out here as we go towards the 2026 Cup and we get ready for, you know, additional qualifying here, where do you kind of view the United States in terms of where this team is? Now you have, you know, a new star that's, you know, spurned his other country to come here and might be actually our best player now, ahead of Pulisic. So you have a team that seems to me to have quite a bit of talent that's been playing together. Are they really a top 10 team in the world?
I think it's borderline. I think when you get past the top 3-4, and typically when you get into a World Cup, you know, you'll have 3 or 4 favorites. One of those usually has a bad tournament, might have had an injury, something happens, whatever, they fall out. You have a miracle run from way out that's a surprise that gets into the top 8. And then the rest of the, like, 5 through 20 is really down to form, in my opinion. I think what the U.S. might lack in terms of top world-class players at a lot of different positions, they have a good core. They have a lot of sevens. They don't have a lot of like nines and tens, but they've got a lot of sevens. And that's a good group to build around. What I'm fascinated to see is next summer in the Copa America, where that's going to be their biggest test. And it's going to be played in the U.S., but it will be all the South American countries and 6 CONCACAF teams. The U.S. has to qualify through the Nations League. They will. Mexico will. The major CONCACAF teams will. But that'll be the real test to see where they are. And they're going to face maybe an Argentina, a Brazil, you know, an Uruguay, some of the top teams in this hemisphere. And until we see that, I think it's a little hard to judge. I do like the signing. It's almost like we're talking about college football recruiting when you get into the dual nationals, but Balogun committing to the U.S. gives them, I think, the level of forward that they've lacked. Pulisic is a very good player. Gio Reyna, if he can stay healthy, can be a very good player. Goalkeeper is very good with Matt Turner. You've got really good defenders at center back, and Miles Robinson's part of that conversation. Balogun gives you a guy who you might not be outplaying a team, but you get that half chance inside the 18, and he can score. And that's something that the U.S. has honestly lacked for as long as I can remember.
Talking with Jason Longshore as we get ready for, because really we have to start turning the page here. I mean, we're in the middle of summer of 2023, and 2026 is a far away. And in front of that, of course, we're going to have the U.S. women's national team try and make it 3 in a row. Are they just heads and tails above everybody still, the U.S.?
No, I don't think so, actually. I think this World Cup is really interesting. Last time out, 4 years ago, I thought England outplayed the U.S. in the semifinal. The U.S. got it done, advanced. They played a Netherlands team that was probably a cycle ahead of where I thought they would be. They're really talented, but they hadn't been in those kinds of games before. And I think the difference that you saw with the U.S. in 19 was you had so many veterans in that team that had been part of the 2015 championship team, that had played in major games, that had just, the pressure didn't get to them, where maybe it did get to England. It definitely got to the Netherlands in the final. This is a much younger U.S. team. You know, a lot, there's still a couple of those players, like Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, who are still there in this group. But there's a lot of young talent, which is great, but they haven't been tested in some of these moments. And the level around the world continues to rise. I think Spain is a team to watch. I think Germany is a team to watch. England, obviously, will be a team to watch, the defending European champions. Brazil, in Marta's last tournament, they're going to be a team to watch. I think it's the most open Women's World Cup that we've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's interesting to talk to Jason Longshore, and we've been on for a number of minutes and haven't mentioned Atlanta United because there's other stuff on the world stage to start talking about, because we have to start thinking again in terms of the world, because the world is coming to us, and it will be here before you know it. Do we know yet, Jason, when FIFA will make the announcements about the what group Atlanta's going to get, and will it get a semifinal, where the title game will be played, media center? When are they expected to make all those announcements?
We won't know the group stuff until much later, but knowing if Atlanta gets a semifinal, where the media center will be, you know, outside of group game, how many group games, I think, is a question with the format change with groups of four as opposed to groups of three. I don't know. I think it's probably something they'd like to have that framework done by the end of the year or early in 24, so you can start to map things out. But there's a lot of things to juggle, and the biggest one is that change in the format of the tournament. You know, going to 48 teams is a good thing. It's an exciting thing. It's the biggest World Cup that's ever been played. But they were originally going to do three-team groups, which I hated the idea because you lost that last day of the group round that we saw in this last tournament that was so amazing with the standings going up and down every goal in two games being played at the same time. So they made that change. It's going to be groups of four. That's much better. But now you're going to have more games to play. So you've got to divvy these up more and figure out how you're going to put groups maybe in regional pods and look at that, because you don't want to have teams travel across the country between group games. But if you go between Atlanta and Miami, then that's a little more reasonable.
All right, final moments here. Let's do touch on Atlanta United, still basking in that superb performance in the clean sheet win against Philadelphia Union. We've seen a lot of ups and downs this year from this team. They are still in the thick of the chase, but now is the time that they've really got to kind of put it together. They got to start stringing a 2, 3, 4 wins together here, I would think, if they want to make top four in the East here. How do you view kind of the short term of Atlanta United, the health of the team? When do we expect to get players back and things of that nature?
I think it's still with where I said things were in the pregame before the Philadelphia game. They've got to show that they can win games consistently 1-0. We know they can score goals. So they're one of the highest scoring teams in the league this season, even with Yorgos Giakoumakis dealing with hamstring issues, and he's week to week right now. I don't expect him to play on Saturday. Then the New England game on Wednesday is a quick turn and a very difficult trip for somebody dealing with a muscle injury. I think you're looking at Orlando for him to come back. But even without him, this is a team that can score goals. But they've got to defend like they did against Philadelphia. They've got to be able to get clean sheets. They've got to just be grittier in the defensive third. Block shots, block passes, block crosses, get stuck into tackles, make plays. And it's down to individual duels in the defensive third. They've got to be better in those moments. If they can do that, and with the goal scoring that they have, they can be a top four team in the East for sure. But the Eastern Conference is as good as I've ever seen it. It's better than the West this year. You look at the overall table in MLS, and you know it's out of the top 10, 7 are in the East. It's very difficult to pick up points. And Atlanta's got to, when they go on the road, a game in Montreal against a team that's been really good at home this season in Montreal, but is not at full strength right now. Two players away to the Gold Cup, but also four players injured. They might get one or two of them back to the bench, maybe this weekend, but probably not to start. You have to take advantage of those kinds of road games, and you have to start picking up 3 points here and there on the road. Not going to win every game on the road in this league. It's not going to happen. But you've got to take advantage of a game like this one where a team is not at full strength. They're coming off of a loss at home. Got to go in there and keep them at zero on the board and get that goal or two that I think this team is good for in almost every game.
As always, Jason, I really appreciate your taking a few minutes. We look forward to the game. Have a great trip, and let's get a few W's. Thanks much.
Anytime you need me, you know you got me.
Yep, Jason Longshore at Longshoe on the Twitter. Atlanta United coming back here, see if they can build on that 2-0 win over the Philadelphia Union. When we get back after a quick break here, phone lines all the way to 11 o'clock here as we talk about the two big questions of the day. Big question about the Braves and a big question about the Hawks with you at 404-726-0929. John Fricke on Sports Radio 90, trying the game in the Odyssey app. I've actually never seen Metallica in concert, but for all I talk about, this is Metallica, for those of you who don't know. Anyway, it's a song called Master of Puppets. It was one of their famous songs. And a great anti. It is John Frickey for John Chuckery on this very busy and interesting Thursday night here. The Atlanta Hawks made some news today, late this evening, in the last couple of hours, when they just dropped a little bomb, and Shams is out there tweeting about the Atlanta Hawks getting a new deal done with DeJounte Murray, a four-year, $120 million deal. And it is really, it's essentially a three-year deal for $30 million a year, and then the fourth year is a player option. That would be Murray's choice here. It's a veteran maximum deal, and it will put DeJounte Murray alongside Trae Young for, you know, a couple, 3 years here, and we'll see if this kind of works here. Now, there's that, and then there's also the fact that it's set against all the other rumors here that made me go, is there any chance that they did this deal with the intention of getting DeJounte under contract so that he becomes a tradable option here? I'm not saying it would be. It just made me wonder out loud. And I'm wondering what you think here. If the Atlanta Hawks offseason turns into dumping John Collins' contract for next to nothing just to get rid of it off the books, and then another minor trade that is so minor it doesn't really matter, and then signing DeJounte Murray to a four-year deal, if that turns out to be the two moves you make, you didn't do anything except, because it doesn't affect at all next year, because DeJounte was already going to be on the team if you didn't move him. He still had a year left on his contract. So it doesn't affect next year in terms of that at all. I mean, it affects long-term, but not next year. So essentially, what you were sitting here, even with the DeJounte Murray deal, we're sitting here with a team that lost John Collins and has done nothing. I still think there's another move. And I'm kind of curious if you do too. So I have two questions here. First question is about the Hawks. Do you think this is setting something up, or are you okay with the idea that Quinn Snyder can get the best out of DeJounte Murray and Trae Young as a combination backcourt, that he can actually make it work, because it really didn't last year, that he could actually make it work, and the Hawks will ascend on the backs of these two great backcourt? And look, make no mistake, I want to be clear here. DeJounte Murray can play. I'm a big fan of DeJounte Murray's. When I'm saying trade him, I'm not saying trade him because I want him out. I'm saying you would have to make a big deal for like a Pascal Siakam, for example. And that's, of course, been all the rumor. So what do you think that this is all about? Is it about setting up Trae and DeJounte for long-term success? How do you feel about that success? Do you think that Quinn Snyder can make this work between these two so that they become the dominant backcourt in the East? How do you view this in terms of, you know, your off-season here, if this is the move? 404-726-0929. The second question is about the Braves. They're going into this series in Tampa. Starts tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We will not see Sean McClanahan because he's injured. He's the star ace of the staff down there. We will see Zach Eflin, who's the other ace of the staff. But we'll see Tyler Glasnow in the opener. And, they've got good pitching. Glasnow's really kind of struggled at times this year against Charlie Morton. And then Spencer Strider against Taj Bradley on Saturday. Then the Bryce Elder and Zach Eflin showdown on Sunday. So I'm kind of curious here about this series against Tampa. Do you consider it to be a preview of the World Series? How important is this series to you? Now, the Braves have dispatched with the Mets and with the Phillies and with the Twins and with Miami and with Cleveland and with all these teams that were either in first place or they were the hottest team in baseball, the Reds. I mean, all these first place teams, hottest teams in baseball, and they've torn them apart in this 25-4 run. Is it important for them to go down in Tampa and really kind of, you know, they're 2.5 games ahead of Tampa at the moment, for them to step on Tampa's neck and say, okay, you too, how important is this series for the Braves? 404-726-0929. So two big questions for you. One about the Hawks that you can jump in on. Now, on my show, you're always welcome to come in and ask about any sport or anything. I mean, I always open it up to you. I don't want fans and people calling in to think that I won't talk football. I talk football all the time. I was prepared to talk some football tonight, but then the Hawks news kind of came in here. So we'll talk a little bit more football tomorrow night. But I am always welcome if you want to jump in and talk about football. You're more than welcome here because, you know, the countdown is still on. We're a couple of weeks away from, you know, the veterans starting to report, and camp is around the corner here. I mean, around the corner. So you're always welcome to talk about football here. But I'm curious on two fronts. The Atlanta Hawks, what do you make of this DeJounte Murray four-year, $120 million deal? Why would they have done it now? Again, he was under contract for the remainder of this year anyway. I mean, are you good with it? Do you think that Quinn Snyder is going to make something of it? Do you think it's going to set up another move? How do you view this, that it dropped at 6:20 on a Thursday night with all the other rumors that are circulating out there? And for the Braves, how important is this series now that they finally have a showdown with the Tampa Bay Rays and, I guess, you know, first place in baseball overall could be on the line between these two teams? 404-726-0929. If you want to be part of the show, let's go to Joe. He joins John. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, John, I'm very excited about this move. I think my fear was if we traded DeJounte for Pascal Siakam, we still would have had to extend Pascal because he's only left with 1 year on his deal. So having a chance to extend DeJounte Murray, if we can still move another Hawk like Hunter and get another star in here, we could have a big three and then pair them up with either Capella or Okongwu, whoever we keep in another trade, let's say. And especially if we keep A.J. Griffin, who I'm excited about too. So I think it's a great move.
So are you more inclined to believe that it's a move that it's going to be a Joe a pairing of DeJounte and Trey over the next 3 years, or is there anything? Because my spidey senses started going off. I started saying, I wonder if Toronto's saying, look, we're not willing to, you know, we got a deal in place, but we're not willing to do it with DeJounte only having 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah, I think it is pairing with Trey, because if you did this just to trade DeJounte to Toronto for Pascal Siakam, who only has 1 year left on his deal, you got to extend him too. And he is viewed around the league as Pascal is viewed as a better player. You're going to have to pay him more. And we all know the Hawks don't like to pay a bunch of money. So I think it is pairing DeJounte with Trey for a long term. And it's making the best out of the deal we made last year, trading a bunch of first round picks for DeJounte. So it really makes that trade, we're going to see the full light of that trade with getting DeJounte on our team. And now the goal for the Hawks would be pair Trey and DeJounte and then see if they can trade one of their other assets for a third superstar so we can go for a championship.
Yeah, I don't see them, and I appreciate the call, Joe, 404-726-0929. I do not see the Hawks being able to trade for anybody of any real value, a big-name player, without including DeJounte Murray in the deal. I just think that would have to happen. I said, if I'm Toronto, and if the Hawks were talking to, let's just say for the sake of this argument you and I are having here, or not argument, this you know, kind of talking this through here, that if Pascal Siakam, who is if you don't know Pascal Siakam, great player. I mean, wing guy, can really shoot, can really run well, not really shoot, but he can really run the floor. He's really good on the boards. I mean, he's a 25-10 guy. I mean, he's a star player. And if he does come to Atlanta, you're really going to like him. But if you wanted somebody of that caliber, if I'm Toronto, I'm looking at you and I'm saying, I need DeJounte Murray, Onyeka Okongwu, a young player like A.J. Griffin or maybe this Kobe Bufkin that we just drafted, and a number one pick from next year. That's what I need. I need that. And if I'm Atlanta, you know what? I'd probably make that deal. Because at some point, you got to really take a step forward. Because at the moment, even with re-signing DeJounte, you haven't done anything. You haven't done anything. I mean, I guess to Joe's point, you solidified the deal that you made to bring him here. Okay, that's great. But it doesn't affect anything on the court next year from what you had at noon today. You didn't add anybody. You didn't subtract anybody. DeJounte was already going to be here. So you didn't do anything. You've traded away John Collins, and you still have done nothing. Now, in Quinn Snyder's world, if Quinn Snyder, and this is why I'm always cautious, because when we talk here about stuff like this, I admit to you that we are talking surface stuff here. You know, there's a lot, you know, they sit in the offices and they go, oh, my God, what is John talking about? You know. Well, because I'm not privy to what's going on and being talked about in the office. And the Hawks are notoriously, this is actually, a good thing for them, check mark in their favor. They're very tight-lipped. And that's a good thing, by the way. It's a good thing for an organization to be that way. So they're very tight-lipped, which I appreciate that they are. So, but again, you know, are they saying inside the offices, hey, and they could be, by the way, Quinn's go, okay, I got my coaching staff. I've got me. I can make DeJounte and Trey into the best backcourt in the East. I've got DeAndre Hunter. I've got Clint Capella. I can use Okongwu off the bench. I don't need John Collins. I could put Sadiq Bey in there, or I can go small and put Bogey in there, and we'll be good. And they may be saying that, by the way. I can win 50 with those guys. Well, if that's the case, then okay. Yeah, right. But you got to do it, okay? Because if the discussion isn't 50 wins, what are we doing here? Because that's got to be the discussion. And by the way, I'm not talking about top six. I'm talking top four here. Let's get 50 plus. What's that discussion? Because, again, this DeJounte trade doesn't affect anything. It might make him happy. I mean, the deal. But it might make him happy, but it doesn't really affect anything. Because he was already on the team, and he was already going to play here next year. So I'm just saying that it's good, but again, how does it impact the team next year? It doesn't. 404-726-0929. So that's one question. Second question is, as Braves fans go, how do you look at this Tampa series? Do you think it's an important series for the Braves to make a statement against the number one team in the American League? They made statements against everybody else. Do they have to make a statement against these guys? Marvin is joining us. Hey, Marvin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have 2 points. Number one, I think it's going to take DeAndre Murray a little more time to gel with Trey and get used to his game a little more because he tends to dominate the ball a little bit. But that's 1 point. My other second point is the Hawks would really do good to get a big, tough guy like a Boogie Cousins. I'd make him an offer overseas and say, hey, man, you want to come play with us for a year or two and see how it works out? They need a big, tough, dominant guy who's also skilled. He's very skilled as a player. He has all the skills. You know, he can pass, he can dribble, he thinks the game. But he's also rough and tough, and that's what the Hawks are really missing, a big, dominant guy in the middle that can throw some elbows and do what they need to do.
Yeah, if you could turn Trey in. I've echoed your sentiments before here. If you can turn Trey and DeJounte into a backcourt that, you know, look, it's never going to be Clay and Steph because that's just an elite status and that's a tick up. But if you turn them into the best backcourt in the East, kind of your version of that, even though it's not quite there, but your version of that, then, yeah, you need a Draymond. That's what you need. And they don't have a Draymond on this team. I've always said that they needed to get a little, that Sadiq Bey was a really good addition to this team. Really good. And I'd like to see, and by the way, I have no problem with Sadiq Bey becoming a starter. I think Sadiq, let's not forget, Sadiq Bey was a first-round pick. I mean, Sadiq can play. Is he capable of being a starter to give you a different dimension than John Collins? The answer is yeah, he is. But now you're taking that off the bench. And you got to replace Sadiq on the bench. And again, they really haven't done anything. Okay? What? They drafted a couple of guys, signed them to two-way contracts. They traded for Ty Washington. What have they done? If you're going to go with this and then improve your bench, show me where the bench got improved. Because I don't see it. Maybe I just missed it? I don't know. Top of the hour, your calls ahead. We're talking Hawks, we're talking Braves, and the importance of this series against Tampa starting tomorrow. All ahead with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game in the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
I've actually never seen Metallica in concert, but for all I talk about, this is Metallica, for those of you who don't know. Anyway, this is a song called Master of Puppets. It was one of their famous songs. And a great ante. It is John Frickie for John Chuckery on this very busy and interesting Thursday night here. The Atlanta Hawks made some news today, late this evening, in the last couple of hours, when they just dropped a little bomb, and Shams is out there tweeting about the Atlanta Hawks getting a new deal done with DeJounte Murray, a four-year, $120 million deal. And it is really, it's essentially a three-year deal for $30 million a year, and then the fourth year is a player option. That would be Murray's choice here. It's a veteran maximum deal, and it will put DeJounte Murray alongside Trae Young for, you know, a couple, 3 years here, and we'll see if this kind of works here. Now, there's that. And then there's also the fact that it's set against all the other rumors here that made me go, is there any chance that they did this deal with the intention of getting DeJounte under contract so that he becomes a tradable option here? I'm not saying it would be. It just made me wonder out loud. And I'm wondering what you think here. If the Atlanta Hawks offseason turns into dumping John Collins' contract for next to nothing, just to get rid of it off the books, and then another minor trade that is so minor it doesn't really matter, and then signing DeJounte Murray to a four-year deal. If that turns out to be the two moves you make, you didn't do anything except, because it doesn't affect at all next year, because DeJounte was already going to be on the team if you didn't move him. He still had a year left on his contract, so it doesn't affect next year in terms of that at all. I mean, it affects long-term, but not next year. So essentially, what we're sitting here, even with the DeJounte Murray deal, we're sitting here with a team that lost John Collins and has done nothing. I still think there's another move. And I'm kind of curious if you do too. So I have two questions here. First question is about the Hawks. Do you think this is setting something up, or are you okay with the idea that Quinn Snyder can get the best out of DeJounte Murray and Trae Young as a combination backcourt, that he can actually make it work, because it really didn't last year that he could actually make it work, and the Hawks will ascend on the backs of these two great backcourt. And look, make no mistake, I want to be clear here. DeJounte Murray can play. I'm a big fan of DeJounte Murray's. When I'm saying trade him, I'm not saying trade him because I want him out. I'm saying you would have to make a big deal for like a Pascal Siakam, for example. And that's, of course, been all the rumor. So what do you think that this is all about? Is it about setting up Trey and DeJounte for long-term success? How do you feel about that success? Do you think that Quinn Snyder can make this work between these two so that they become the dominant backcourt in the East? How do you view this in terms of, you know, your off-season here if this is the move? 404-726-0929. The second question is about the Braves. They're going into this series in Tampa. Starts tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We will not see Sean McClanahan because he's injured. He's the star ace of the staff down there. We will see Zach Eflin, who's the other ace of the staff. But we'll see Tyler Glasnow in the opener. And, you know, that's, you know, look, they've got good pitching. Glasnow's really kind of struggled at times this year against Charlie Morton. And then Spencer Strider against Taj Bradley on Saturday. Then the Bryce Elder and Zach Eflin showdown on Sunday. So I'm kind of curious here about this series against Tampa. Do you consider it to be a preview of the World Series? How important is this series to you? Now, the Braves have dispatched with the Mets and with the Phillies and with the Twins and with Miami and with Cleveland and with all these teams that were either in first place or they were the hottest team in baseball, the Reds. I mean, all these first place teams, hottest teams in baseball, and they've torn them apart in this 25-4 run. Is it important for them to go down in Tampa and really kind of, you know, they're 2.5 games ahead of Tampa at the moment, for them to step on Tampa's neck and say, okay, you too. How important is this series for the Braves? 404-726-0929. So two big questions for you. One about the Hawks that you can jump in on. Now, on my show, you're always welcome to come in and ask about any sport or anything. I mean, I always open it up to you. I don't want fans and people calling in to think that I won't talk football. I talk football all the time. I was prepared to talk some football tonight, but then the Hawks news kind of came in here. So we'll talk a little bit more football tomorrow night. But I am always welcome if you want to jump in and talk about football. You're more than welcome here because, you know, the countdown is still on. We're a couple of weeks away from, you know, the veterans starting to report in camp is around the corner here. I mean, around the corner. So you're always welcome to talk about football here. But I'm curious on two fronts. The Atlanta Hawks, what do you make of this DeJounte Murray four-year, $120 million deal? Why would they have done it now? Again, he was under contract for the remainder of this year anyway. I mean, are you good with it? Do you think that Quinn Snyder is going to make something of it? Do you think it's going to set up another move? How do you view this, that it dropped at 6:20 on a Thursday night with all the other rumors that are circulating out there? And for the Braves, how important is this series now that they finally have a showdown with the Tampa Bay Rays? And I guess, you know, first place in baseball overall could be on the line between these two teams. 404-726-0929. If you want to be part of the show, let's go to Joe. He joins John. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, John, I'm very excited about this move. I think my fear was if we traded DeJounte for Pascal Siakam, we still would have had to extend Pascal because he's only left with 1 year on his deal. So having a chance to extend DeJounte Murray, if we can still move another Hawk like Hunter and get another star in here, we could have a big three and then pair them up with either Capella or Okongwu, whoever we keep in another trade, let's say, and especially if we keep AJ Griffin, who I'm excited about too. So I think it's a great move.
So are you more inclined to believe that it's a move that it's going to be a pairing of DeJounte and Trey over the next 3 years, or is there anything, because my spidey senses started going off. I started saying, I wonder if Toronto's saying, look, we're not willing to, you know, we got a deal in place, but we're not willing to do it with DeJounte only having 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah, I think it is pairing with Trey, because if you did this just to trade DeJounte to Toronto for Pascal Siakam, who only has 1 year left on his deal, you got to extend him too. And he's viewed around the league as Pascal is viewed as a better player. You're going to have to pay him more. And we all know the Hawks don't like to pay a bunch of money. So I think it is pairing DeJounte with Trey for a long term. And it's making the best out of the deal we made last year, trading a bunch of first round picks for DeJounte. So it really makes that trade, we're going to see the full light of that trade with getting DeJounte on our team. And now the goal for the Hawks would be pair Trey and DeJounte and then see if they can trade one of their other assets for a third superstar so we can go for a championship.
Yeah, I don't see them, and I appreciate the call, Joe, 404-726-0929. I do not see the Hawks being able to trade for anybody of any real value, a big-name player, without including DeJounte Murray in the deal. I just think that would have to happen. If I'm Toronto, and if the Hawks were talking to, let's just say for the sake of this argument you and I are having here, or not argument, this you know, kind of talking this through here, that if Pascal Siakam, who is if you don't know Pascal Siakam, great player. I mean, wing guy, can really shoot, can really run well, not really shoot, but he can really run the floor. He's really good on the boards. I mean, he's a 25-10 guy. I mean, he's a star player. And if he does come to Atlanta, you're really going to like him. But if you wanted somebody of that caliber, if I'm Toronto, I'm looking at you and I'm saying, I need DeJounte Murray, Onyeka Okongwu, a young player like AJ Griffin or maybe this Kobe Bufkin that we just drafted, and a number one pick from next year. That's what I need. I need that. And if I'm Atlanta, you know what? I probably make that deal. Because at some point, you got to really take a step forward. Because at the moment, even with re-signing DeJounte, you haven't done anything. You haven't done anything. I mean, I guess to Joe's point, you solidified the deal that you made to bring him here. Okay, that's great. But it doesn't affect anything on the court next year from what you had at noon today. You didn't add anybody. You didn't subtract anybody. DeJounte was already going to be here. So you didn't do anything. You've traded away John Collins, and you still have done nothing. Now, in Quinn Snyder's world, if Quinn Snyder, and this is why I'm always cautious, because when we talk here about stuff like this, I admit to you that we are talking surface stuff here. You know, there's a lot, you know, they sit in the offices and think, oh my God, what is John talking about? Well, because I'm not privy to what's going on and being talked about in the office, and the Hawks are notoriously, this is actually, a good thing for them, check mark in their favor, they're very tight-lipped. And that's a good thing, by the way. It's a good thing for an organization to be that way. So they're very tight-lipped, which I appreciate that they are. So, are they saying inside the offices, hey, and they could be, by the way, Quinn's go, okay, I got my coaching staff. I've got me. I can make DeJounte and Trey into the best backcourt in the East. I've got DeAndre Hunter. I've got Clint Capella. I can use Okongwu off the bench. I don't need John Collins. I could put Sadiq Bey in there, or I can go small and put Bogey in there, and we'll be good. And they may be saying that, by the way. I can win 50 with those guys. Well, if that's the case, then okay. Anyway. But you got to do it, okay? Because if the discussion isn't 50 wins, what are we doing here? Because that's got to be the discussion. And by the way, I'm not talking about top six. I'm talking top four here. Let's get 50 plus. What's that discussion? Because, again, this DeJounte trade doesn't affect anything. It might make him happy. I mean, the deal. But it might make him happy, but it doesn't really affect anything because he was already on the team. And he was already going to play here next year. So I'm just saying that it's good, but again, how does it impact the team next year? It doesn't. 404-726-0929. So that's one question. Second question is, as Braves fans go, how do you look at this Tampa series? Do you think it's an important series for the Braves to make a statement against the number one team in the American League? They made statements against everybody else. Do they have to make a statement against these guys? Marvin is joining us. Hey, Marvin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have 2 points. Number one, I think it's going to take DeAndre Murray a little more time to gel with Trey and get used to his game a little more because he tends to dominate the ball a little bit. But that's 1 point. My other second point is the Hawks would really do good to get a big, tough guy like a Boogie Cousins. I'd make him an offer overseas and say, hey, man, you want to come play with us for a year or two and see how it works out? They need a big, tough, dominant guy who's also skilled. He's very skilled as a player. He has all the skills. You know, he can pass, he can dribble, he thinks the game. But he's also rough and tough, and that's what the Hawks are really missing, a big, dominant guy in the middle that can throw some elbows and do what they need to do.
Yeah, if you could turn Trey in. I've echoed your sentiments before here. If you can turn Trey and DeJounte into a backcourt that, you know, look, it's never going to be Clay and Steph because that's just an elite status and that's a tick up. But if you turn them into the best backcourt in the East, kind of your version of that, even though it's not quite there, but your version of that, then, yeah, you need a Draymond. That's what you need. And they don't have a Draymond on this team. I've always said that they need to get that Sadiq Bey was a really good addition to this team. Really good. And I'd like to see – and, by the way, I have no problem with Sadiq Bey becoming a starter. I think Sadiq – let's not forget, Sadiq Bey was a first-round pick. I mean, Sadiq can play. Is he capable of being a starter to give you a different dimension than John Collins? The answer is yeah, he is. But now you're taking that off the bench. And you got to replace Sadiq on the bench. And again, they really haven't done anything. Okay? What? They drafted a couple of guys, signed them to two-way contracts. They traded for Ty Washington. What have they done? If you're going to go with this and then improve your bench, show me where the bench got improved. Because I don't see it. Maybe I just missed it? I don't know. Top of the hour, your calls ahead. We're talking Hawks, we're talking Braves, and the importance of this series against Tampa starting tomorrow. All ahead with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game in the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to health care that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.